But first, this morning, once again, to water. In the face of violent protests and ministers having their security reassessed, the government has made yet another concession on water charges. It now appears that charges will not apply until after Christmas, with bills arriving in late spring, and that the costs could be capped for 4 years. Well, on the way into Cabinet this morning, Environment Minister Alan Kelly said he was hoping that reasonable people will welcome the changes. So is it going to be enough to end the anger, or do the protesters now smell blood? In a few moments, I'm going to be speaking to John Downing, political correspondent with the Irish Independent, and also to Rory Hearn, lecturer in political geography in Maynooth. But first, our reporter Brian O'Connell was in Cove early this morning, where residents have been manning barricades at many estates. And he joins me now. Brian, there really has been quite a concerted effort in Cove to prevent Irish Water installing meters there.
Good morning, Keelan. That's right, there has. I mean, I started covering these protests, I think, last August, the end of August, start of September. And at that point, it was really just one or two sporadic estates in Cork City at that time in Toker. And it was more of a principled stand, if you like, against the installation of meters. It was people really who had protested a lot in the past. But this is different, Keelan. The people who I met in Cove this morning, many of them are first time taking part in a protest, many women. They are people who, I suppose, smell blood, as you say now. They feel that, aside from taking a principled stand, they feel that they see the government running for cover, and they feel that victory is pretty close for them. It's a very impressive operation in Cove. Basically, Cove is an island, as people might know. There's two ways on and two ways off the island. From about 6:30 in the morning, residents in Cove have spotters in cars just at the bridge, just over the bridge from where Fota Island is at the entrance to Cove. And people are there parked. Once they see Irish Water vans coming onto the island, they send out to text messages and people get mobilised. I counted barricades in about 10, 11, 12 estates this morning. They're set up in gazebos. They have tea and coffee making facilities set up. So it's a very, very organised campaign in Cove. And as a result, there's been very little installation of water meters in the housing estates in Cove in the last 5 or 6 weeks. We reckon the protests now are at about 12 estates in Cove at this stage. Now, those protesting come from a wide cross-section of the community, Keelan. Some would have been out in the past, but many of them are, I have to say, first-time protesters. As I said, they are very, very organised.
That's very interesting. First-time protesters. So, you know, quite away from what Charlie Flanagan really was saying, that, you know, vast majority of people, but that they are being led by forces who had no regard for democracy, whose sole function was to destabilise the government. Have you seen any evidence of this, Brian?
Well, as I said, I think maybe a couple of months ago you might have said that there might have been some political influence in relation to the organisation of protests. But what I am seeing now, what I have seen in the last few weeks, is more a community, a kind of a ground up protest which is happening, which may have some political element to it or influence or involvement, but is certainly on the main, from what I can see, being organised by communities, many of whom, as I said, are people who haven't protested in the past and are not, from what I can see, members of political parties. Now, first up, if we talk to some of the people, or if we hear from some of the people I met this morning, Keelan, I met Karen Doyle, and Karen told me firstly why she is out protesting.
We have spotter cars at the bridge and at various locations in the town, and they've been there now for the past, this is the sixth week when we're coming into this. Those spotter cars relay messages to us when we see Irish Water come over the bridge, and then we can help get to various locations around the town. I think that the movement has become very, I suppose, very grassroots and very organic. There are various tents and gazebos set up all throughout the town. Mainly, I think, a practicality to give people shelter. We had terrible weather for the past couple of weeks, as you know. We're coming into winter now. People know that we're here for the long haul, and therefore they organise themselves. Other neighbours that can't be here for whatever reasons helped out with providing food and the shelter, as you can see.
Have you protested in the past?
I have. I have protested, I suppose, over the campaign against home and water taxes would have been where I started.
The household charge?
Yeah, the household charge. Actually, the household charge was the very first meeting. That was 4 years ago this week that I attended that first meeting.
Enda Kenny had said yesterday that the people protesting are not protesting about water, he said. It's about other things.
It is predominantly about water, but of course it is about other things. I suppose for the last 4 or 5 years we have been trapped by austerity. Water, the issue of water, we always felt, would be the one, the straw that broke the camel's back. I think people can physically get out of their homes, you see, and stop a meter going in. That is the difference. You can't fight against revenue. When revenue came in and took the household charge from us, we can do it this way.
It's really interesting to hear Karen saying that there is something you can do. Now, Karen, as we heard, there had been out protesting before on the household charges, but you did also meet some first-time protesters.
Yeah, there were quite a lot of them. I met Noel Maguire and Brian Walsh, who we'll hear from in this next clip, and both of them haven't protested before, Keelan. And Brian was telling me he protests every morning before work, and Noel, unfortunately, is out of work presently, and he says he cannot afford these water charges.
I'm 100% against the water charge. I'm a local resident here at Russell Heights. We're out every morning. We start at 6:30 and we're here till 6:30 in the evening. There was an incident last week where Irish Water came to an estate in Cove at 7:30 at night when they thought everyone was finished. And within 15 minutes, there was 100 plus people enter the estate and asked these boys to leave.
And had you protested in the past?
No, I haven't.
I do believe we have to pay for water, and we are paying for water, so I really object to paying for it for the fourth or fifth time.
You mean we're paying for it through taxation?
We're paying for true general taxation, yeah. Correct. No, I mean, the infrastructure has not been improved over the years. It was estimated we paid $1.2 billion last year for water, but where did it go? Leif Riker told us it went elsewhere. Right, so this is the one that I said, no, I can't pay again. So that's why it came out.
And are you out here every morning?
Yes. We come out before we go to work, come back in the evenings.
And so far you've managed to resist Irish Water putting in any infrastructure in this estate and in many estates. And I see a neighbour just arriving here with what looks like sausages and rashers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've resisted Irish Water, but you know, we also respect the residents that some people want meters, and we've allowed them into estates to install where people didn't want them.
Brian, can I ask you, I mean, we've had a number of concessions announced by the government. Well, not announced yet, but it would seem that there will be concessions made when they look at the water charges package today and tomorrow. What did protesters think of the items that have been leaked, like the four-year cap, the reduction in charges, the fact that bills won't come in until next spring?
Yeah, for the protesters I met this morning, Keelan, the only concession that will be acceptable to them is the repeal completely of water charges. And that's what they are saying. They're staying firm on that. They're going to stay protesting as long as it takes until the water charges have been eradicated. We can actually hear now from Brian again and Karen, who I asked directly about concessions.
Well, I don't think it's anger. I think it's a bridge too far for people. And no matter what Irish Water or the government come up with, I think we're going to stick to our own guns here now. We've done it for 6 weeks. We're not going to back down. If it was a euro a week, I'd still say no to it.
I think actually there was a man told me the other day when I said, what about the concessions the government will bring in now, lads? How do you feel? And one man said, look, Aaron, he said, if they offer me a gold bar now, he said, with the meter, I would tell them no way.
So that's very stringent, isn't it? These people, they don't want water charges, full stop, doesn't matter what level they're at. Have you been in touch with Irish Water at all? I mean, obviously they're charged with installing the meters in these estates, regardless of the protests that are going on. Have they any plans?
I have, because interestingly, protesters were telling me this morning they had some sort of an informal arrangement with installers or contractors whereby they wouldn't go into certain estates. Now, I put that to Irish Water and I said, have you entered into an agreement with protesters in Cove? And Irish Water say that they haven't entered into an agreement with residents in Cove not to install meters. However, they say the safety of our workers and the general public is Irish Water's priority. And in view of this, Irish Water has taken sensible steps on a case-by-case basis to ensure that this safety is maintained. So basically what they're saying is a number of installations in the area have been rescheduled, that's how they put it, to ensure that the works can be undertaken in a safe manner. Which is quite interesting, because as I understand it, what had been happening over the last few weeks is that houses where posters were up saying we don't want water meters, they simply weren't having meters installed, and the people were working around them or working in the other areas. But now it just seems that people have barricaded most of the estates and they're not going to allow anybody in. Interestingly as well, people were telling me some Fine Gael members are out protesting. Some families, one person was telling me where a husband and wife, the wife is totally against austerity. The husband is a Fianna Fáil man. He's no problem paying for water meters. It's divided the family in two. So some difficult conversations over dinner there, I'd imagine. So it's as I said, a real cross section. And genuinely, I've been following these protests for many months. This is different, Keelan. These are people who are really community led, as opposed to it being orchestrated from people outside the communities.
Yeah, it's very interesting to listen to, Brian. Brian, thank you very much indeed for going out in Cove early on this morning. We've had a few people in touch. Paddy Duffy saying Alan Kelly's remark about reasonable people implies that anybody who doesn't agree with the government are not reasonable. Another caller, the government's latest inducement to pay is missing the point. I've no faith in the company that is Irish Water. Firstly, how is it set up? Secondly, will it be privatised? And thirdly, what will the cost of fixing the leaks be? I've just received my bill for property tax. I pay my refuse charges. People are not being led by sinister forces. The government have created a vacuum. Listen to the people. They're just two of the calls we've had in. Now, as I say, I'm also joined by John Downing, who's political correspondent with the Irish Independent, and by Rory Hearn, lecturer in political geography in Maynooth. John, if I can go to you, first of all, on this. I mean, what that last caller is saying, the government have created a vacuum. They need to listen to the people. Have they, do you believe at this point, fully understood who is out protesting and why? Or is this talk of sinister forces or organised political groups missing the point?
I think up to now, they were certainly very keenly aware. And if you look at the particularly the demonstrations on the 1st of this month, where, you know, very regular Middle Ireland citizens were on the streets, and not just the usual suspects who have their banners in the shed ready to go to every and any demonstration. I think what happened this weekend, the government, on the one hand, it was extremely unpleasant, and I'm not trying to downplay it for a second. I know that, for example, Joan Burton's staff were extremely shaken and hurt and insulted by what happened in Talla on Saturday afternoon. All of that being said, I think the government sees an opportunity to separate the more politically motivated protesters from Middle Ireland, trying to play to Alan Kelly's description there of reasonable people. They will be trying to say to them, look, for a single household, probably about €1.50 a week. For a larger family, maybe about three less than €4 a week. That's a reasonable sum of money.
And John, do you think that's going to work? I mean, even listening to Karen there, you know, she only started protesting when the household charge came in. She's fundamentally opposed to the idea of paying for water.
It may work, but it's going to be extremely difficult for the government, because they're starting, they're playing uphill into a gale with this one. I believe, for example, the first job will be to sell all of this to Fine Gael and Labour TDs and senators and indeed councillors, try and get them to go and sell the message to their constituents. That of itself will be difficult. They may be able to pull it off. But it's by no means certain.
And John, can I ask you, I mean, you have been on the inside, you were a press officer with the Greens. It really does appear that this issue of water has blindsided the government. How do you think that's happened? What's your understanding of how it has got to this point?
Well,
why did they get it so wrong?
If you listen to Brian O'Connell there earlier, he started looking at protests back in the summer, and they were very desultory and sporadic, and I think it's taken everybody, including ordinary people, somewhat by surprise. It's no doubt, I mean, of charging for water is probably one of the lesser things that has been done to people over the years. I mean, you have the VAT hike, you have
the USC,
you have local property charges, you have a relentless round of service cutbacks. They all hurt far more. It's undoubtedly the visibility of this charge for an element fundamental to all our lives, and obviously the very, very poor image of Irish Water. And there's also the precedent that last time they tried this, the government, they backed down. It was December 1996, And curiously, very much the same people were involved in that climb down. Brendan Howland, Richard Bruton, Michael Noonan, Enda Kenny, all around the cabinet table, and Joan Burton was a junior minister.
That is a very interesting point. And of course, it was very interesting hearing Helen say, because you can physically see the vans, you feel you can do something about it. It's not like the revenue commissioners dropping in the bills with the household tax, the property charges. I'm going to bring Rory Hearn in here. Rory, how do you explain the way in which the protests have grown and, you know, the apparent lack of understanding from the government and the establishment of what's driving them?
Well, I think that the protests have emerged as a result of the cumulative impact of austerity. And, you know, we can't get away from this. And, you know, Enda Kenny is right when he says they're not about water. To a certain extent, they're not, because people are saying, and you can hear there, you know, in the interviews with people who are protesting, they can't take any more. And I think it's the narrative that came out when the Troika left was, well, we're now in recovery. And for the majority of people, they're not seeing any recovery. And if we look at, you know, there's structural problems within the Irish economy, things like low wages, housing crisis, you know, mortgage arrears, child poverty. These have not gone away. They're still there, and the likelihood is they will get worse. And essentially, and I've been analysing this for a number of years now, there was this idea that the Irish people didn't protest during the crisis. And it's not actually true. There was a number of protests that emerged after Fianna Fáil, after the Labour Fine Gael government was elected in. And that is significant. I think that was a significant moment when Labour and Fine Gael were elected on the promise of a democratic revolution, and this idea that they were going to radically reform the state, that, you know, bondholders would be burned, that the recovery and, you know, it would be the end of the way in which politics was done. There was a sense that this was a new republic, but they absolutely failed to do that. And so people, in response to that, started protesting. We had a small group in Cork called the Ballyhay Says No, who were protesting about the bondholder bailouts and the Anglo debt. There was the groups that protested against the sell-off of the forests, who were actually successful in that. There was a lot of community groups in disadvantaged areas who have been, where their communities have been disproportionately affected by cuts. And there was a number of protests that were growing. And then, of course, we had the household charge campaign. And we must remember that 50%, half the population refused to pay that charge initially. That was a significant protest, and obviously that was defeated by when the revenue commissioners came in. And I think it's also interesting that when people comment about, you know, what happened in Ireland during the austerity, why wasn't there, you know, protests, and Lenehan went over to Europe and ministers in Europe were asking, how are you doing all these adjustments and people aren't protesting? And similarly, Enda Kenny would, you know, was on the front of Time magazine saying, I've got through all this austerity, we've made this massive adjustment and there hasn't been protests. And to a certain extent, I think people were holding back. They were holding back on the basis of shock, of collective guilt, and a fear and a sense of powerlessness. And now that's all changed. People feel now that they have a power to stop these water charges, that they can actually do it. And they also see that they've been through the worst. It can't get any worse for most of these people. And there's also an injustice. There is an injustice that's lingering about the bailout of the banks and the role in which Ireland played in bailing out the European financial system, and the fact that we were left with the highest cost, 64 billion, of any other European country. And while the government tries to say that, well, that's not significant, well, it is for people. They feel the pain of it every day. And I think what's happening is that you could describe this as a fracturing of the social contract of the Republic. The Republic was, since independence, was based on the idea of, you know, we're all in it together, that there's no real divisions.
Whereas that's been broken at this point.
That has broken. And I think that we're seeing the emergence of a new type of politics, people feeling that they can't rely on the political system. They have to take action themselves. And with the water charges protests, you can see that they're right. Mm. They've achieved more with these protests than electing a government.
Rory, let me bring John back in on that. I think that's a really interesting point Rory has made there, that, you know, that the protests weren't visible until after the Fine Gael Labour election the government was elected, that people felt they had voted for a new form of politics. So it's not so much the cuts, it's the feeling of having been let down, not being given what they were promised.
I think that is undoubtedly true. There were all sorts of extravagant promises made in the run, unnecessary promises made in the run into the February 2011 election. Much of it was about competition between Fine Gael and Labour. And there is undoubtedly a sense of great disappointment attaching to all of that. There is also the feeling that people were absolutely numbed. There was a kind of delayed hurt there. People felt they couldn't do anything about it because there was no hope and there was no leeway in the economy. Now that there are signs of recovery, it seems sort of slightly perverse in a way, but people feel that they can assert themselves again and that they can speak up. And I think all of that is undoubtedly true.
Significant as well that the Irish Congress of Trade Unions organised demonstrations at the start of the crisis, and some very large ones that had over 100,000 people in November 2010. But then the entry of Labour into government meant that they reduced the amount of their involvement in protest. And I think what's significant we're seeing now is the emergence of a new leadership, both at a community level, but also the likes of the unions of Unite and Mandate and the Social and independents, who are stepping into a vacuum and offering leadership. And they played a very significant role in organising the protest. There's also a group called Dublin Says No, which is a non-political group. This is a new type of politics for Ireland. I think we're seeing the emergence of a European-style social movements, which is completely challenging the way politics is done. And I think that's really what the political establishment doesn't understand. This is not people just saying that, you know, we don't want water charges and we're going to, you know, complain about that. They're actually saying we don't want them and we're going to stop them and we're going to protest about that and we're going to continue to protest. And I think the idea, you know, clearly what the government is trying to do, they have a sense that, you know, the people have a sense that they can win. They're trying to divide the movement. They're trying to focus on, you know, some of the protests on the weekend where water balloons were thrown. And I think in a way, if you step back and you compare the response of the Irish people to Greece or Spain, where there was mass riots, people were killed. You know, this is not violence. This is not a violent response.
Well, I suppose
this is civil disobedience.
Very much, Rory, does remain to be seen. I mean, if the government come out with a package tomorrow, it is entirely likely that many of the protesters will say, OK, that's enough for me. You know, we don't know yet how far it will go to.
But we don't know, but I think that irrespective of if people move away from the anti-water charges protest, which I don't believe they will, I think that we're seeing something more fundamental happening. And you can see that in the recent polls about people's disenfranchisement with the entire political establishment.
Okay.
And I think that we are seeing people moving to a different type of politics. And in that, if we look at Spain and Greece, we see the rise of new political parties of the left. And I think if a new party was formed of the left in Ireland, it could build a lot. It could become a significant force.
Okay, well, listen, Rory, thank you very much indeed for joining me. John, very briefly on Sinn Féin, following Mary Lou McDonald's sit-in last week, what is likely to happen this morning?
It's very difficult to call. Will Sinn Féin persist with their threat to move motion of no confidence in the Crown Court? What would the others do? I know that, for example, the technical group are unhappy with the Crown Court in recent times because for various reasons, but I doubt whether that amounts to them supporting a motion of no confidence in him. We must wait and see. Unlikely also, I would have felt that Fianna Fáil would go with Sinn Féin on this one. Rather unfair. I know that there is a lot of there's form between particularly Mary Lou MacDonald and the Crown Court, Sean Barrett, but rather unfair, I believe, because I believe him to have been more one of the fairer and straight dealers in that chair for quite some time.
Okay, well, listen, I suppose we'll see over the course of the morning what does happen if Mary Lou does indeed turn up at the Dáil and whether she decides to protest at that stage or not. But for now, John Downing and previously Rory Hearn and indeed Brian Downing, thank you all, Brian O'Connell rather, thank you all very much indeed for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.